Amen, folks. Here we are back again. And once again, just want to let you guys know that I really do appreciate everything that you're doing and everything that you're interested in doing as far as helping out with the Stevenses. And I'll tell you what, brethren, when the church goes through a time of crisis, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to see God's people stick in there and be faithful. And it's good to see you show up week after week, even though Brother Stevens isn't here. It's good to see you excited and encouraged and trying to look for something to do. That says an awful lot, brethren, about your hearts and your spirit. And it is greatly appreciated. So just wanted to say that. Appreciate you putting up with, even with me and some of the other men that are filling in. And just glad that we have somebody to preach to. Amen? It's just good to have somebody to preach to. So if you can, let's go back to the book of Proverbs. We'll kind of pick up where we left off. Head over to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. And we covered a whopping two verses last time we did this, but I was telling Jeremy, my son-in-law, back last night. I said, you know, it's been a real burden of mine and my wife's also over the years. I came from a broken family, and I've seen the devastation, the effects of a lot of that. And the Lord's been real good, and we had a real good opportunity to have a couple of people in a church that we were in down in South Carolina that really kind of took us in under their wing and mentored us an awful lot and gave us a lot of wisdom on family stuff and on marriage stuff. And we were young, and you know, and we were asking questions, and it was exciting to have that. And I've seen the benefits of that, and so that's always been a burden on my heart, is to try to pass some of those things along. I certainly don't have all the answers yet. I'm sure that until I'm raptured out of here and have the mind of Christ, I won't have all the answers. But I tell you what, it's a blessing. It's a blessing when the Lord opens up the book and puts people in your lives that can help you. And that's what I found with us, and it's been a real big blessing. So you folks got, you got some folks that you look up to, that you're close to, that are a good influence in your life. Hey, hold on to those things. Hold on to those things. So we're in Proverbs chapter 15, and last week we hit a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger, and the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And we made it down here to verse 3, and that's where we're going to pick up this evening. And in verse 3, Proverbs 15 says this. It says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Now, considering what we talked about with verse 1 and 2, a soft answer and the tongue of the wise, it's, it's pretty enlightening or convicting when you read verse 3. It's a sobering thought because, you know, brethren, we're sinful creatures. We're sinful creatures, and we battle sin just on a day-in, day-out basis. We battle sin probably 24 hours a day. And so we come across a verse like this. It says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And, you know, that's a sobering thought. It really is. It makes you want to set up and pay very close attention to what you're doing. But brethren, there's another side here. There's another side here. 1 Peter 3:12 says this. It says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You know, I read Proverbs 15:3, and it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And we think about that, and our natural inclination is, oh my gosh, he sees everything I do wrong. He sees everything I do wrong. And you can almost get to the place where you're afraid to take a step for fear of doing the wrong thing. But brethren, that verse right there says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Beholding the evil and the good. And sometimes we don't think about that enough. Sometimes we get so focused on the negative aspect of God. We get focused on the negative aspect of life. We look all around us and, you know, we see sin and corruption, and we see things that are very, very grievous to our hearts because we're trying to do right, and we see our own failures, and it can become pretty burdensome. But the verse there says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. 1 Peter 3:12 says, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous." Brethren, I tell you what, it is good. It's good to know. It's good to know that the Lord sees you when you do good. And you know, you got to take some time once in a while and just think about that. You got to take some time and think about that. His ears, 1 Peter says, is open to your prayers. The righteous, his ears are open to their prayers. Brethren, the Lord sees us, you and me, when we do good. And his ears are open to our prayers. Now that's a comfort. Amen? That is a comfort. That's a comfort. We, you know, it's real easy to get focused on the negative aspect of life. You see people, they get down and, you know, we always make joke about, you know, I can't joke about 50-year-old men anymore because it's not too far away. A few years. But, you know, you always make jokes about 50, 60, 70-year-old men and, you know, they had a rough life and they're cantankerous and nothing ever seems to please them. And, you know, you see people like that. Brethren, you know, we ought not be like that. We ought not be like that. Because the Lord is good, the Lord is gracious. And, you know, brethren, the Lord sees when we do good. Not just when we make a mistake. Not just when we fail. Not just when we fall short of what it is we're striving for. Not just, you know, not just when we struggle with that sin that's been at us for years and years and years. It seems like we'll never get victory over. Brethren, the Lord sees it when you do good. The eyes of the Lord see the good. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom in Proverbs 9:10. And that's true. And it's good to resist evil because, you know, because we know the Lord's watching. And that's true. But brethren, the Lord sees more than just that. It's good to fear God in the sense that He's going to keep you on the straight path and we know that He's a powerful God. But don't ever forget that God sees you when you choose to do something right. I mean, you go to the grocery store and the clerk gives you back an extra $5 in change on accident because she makes a simple, arithmetic mistake. And you turn around and you catch that mistake and you give it back to her. And sometimes you don't think anything of it. Brethren, the Lord sees that. The Lord sees that. You go out of your way to do something honest and upright and, you know, be a virtuous individual. And the Lord notices that. Nobody's watching and you choose to forego a particular sin. Brethren, man, the Lord gets joy out of that thing. And the eyes of the Lord are in every place and He sees that. He sees that. You know, when you go out of your way to help one of the brethren, and there's plenty to do here right now. There's a lot of things going on in a lot of people's lives. And the devil will probably give you all kinds of reasons and all kinds of excuses why you shouldn't or you don't need to do something good. And you know what it is, brethren? It's a blessing when you overcome that. And in spite of whatever reasons you may have, justifiable or not, you put those reasons aside and you choose to do good to one of your brethren. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. I mean, you spend your time and your money and your effort to help someone, maybe even without them knowing. I think back and every year we get ready to take the kids to camp. And inevitably every year there are folks that, you know, wind up giving me or Brother Stevens or Brother Dave or Brother Steve or somebody a check. And they say, here, put this towards some of the kids that may have, you know, maybe their family's struggling trying to send them to camp. And generally they say, and don't let them know who it's from. What a blessing. What a blessing. Because, you know, I've been to camp. We've taken those kids to camp. And we've seen some of those very kids who otherwise wouldn't have been able to afford to go walk down that aisle and do business with God. And it's, you know what? It's meant a lot to them. It's meant a lot to them. And it was because one of you folks just took the time to do good. That's a blessing. Man, that's an encouragement. You have a part when you just choose to do good, you have a part in changing things sometimes eternally for somebody. And you know, brethren, we forget that sometimes. You know, we're so busy fighting sin, and we should be. We're so busy worried about, you know, not making a mistake, and we should worry about that. We're so busy worried about all the things that go on and all the negative aspects in life. But brethren, sometimes we just forget the Lord sees it when we do good. He sees it when you do good. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You know, when a church like this goes through some of the struggles that we're going through right now, it is amazing to me. And I think it was Brother Jones down in Mexico that I emailed this back to. He was telling me about a couple of things that he's got going on in his church and just some pretty serious struggles and issues that he has down there in Mexico, and was asking me to pray for him. And I was kind of writing him back a little synopsis of some of the things that are going on here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And, you know, brethren, it seems like there is a whole lot of stuff piled on very high, very condensed in a very short time right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And chances are very good that, you know, you sitting there in the congregation don't know about all of it. I don't know about all of it. Brother Stevens doesn't know about all of it. But I do know enough to know that there's an awful lot of people going through an awful lot of stuff right now that need your prayers. You know, they need for you to be praying for them. And it's a blessing when you see that happening in a congregation, to see folks step up to the plate and take a swing and do good. And do good to one another. What an encouragement that is. And the Lord takes note of that, brethren. The Lord takes note. I just completely lost my train of thought. But the Lord takes note of that. You take a look at... that's where I was going. You take a look at what Brother Stevens is trying to do with getting his master's thesis written. He's writing a book on the King James Bible. You take a look at a lot of the other people who've tried writing books like that. Some of the stuff Gail Ripplinger went through, and look at some of the things Dr. Ruckman's had to go through. Somebody has stood up and tried to do something like that. That, brethren, that book is going to be a blessing for a whole lot of people until the Lord comes back. The devil doesn't like that. The devil doesn't like that. You know, it would have been foolish for us to sit back and see him doing that and encourage him in the process of writing that book and trying to, you know, produce something that'll be a real blessing to the body of Christ, and not expect any resistance from the devil. And you look at it, and there's a lot of stuff going on, brethren. You know what that means? You ought to rejoice in that. You know why? Because obviously he's doing something good, and the devil doesn't like it. And yeah, we have to go through a little bit of turmoil, and we have life turned upside down, and you look at some of your brethren sitting in the pews with you right now, and they may be very heavy of heart and going through some things you really don't understand. But brethren, there's some good things going on. And you want to be a part of that. You want to be a part of that. You take your time, you take a little bit of time to just assist somebody with just something that you think is very minor, but it means a lot to them. And the eyes of the Lord behold the good. They behold the good. You take a little bit of time to ask someone how they're doing on a Sunday morning, on a Wednesday night. You know, the Lord impresses it upon your heart, and you pick up the phone and just give somebody a phone call just because. And you don't know how much that really helps. And the Lord notices those things. You know, don't forget the Lord notices those things. You take time, for example, or you take... You show a little bit of extra grace, a little bit of extra mercy with one of the brethren through times like this, and you overlook some transgression that they may have made. Brethren, the Lord notices that. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I've had several of you come up to me after service and just thank me for the service, say you got a blessing out of it. You know what, brethren? I appreciate that. I really do. Because, I tell you what, trying to preach behind Brother Stevens, a very tough thing to do. You know, I feel completely inadequate up here. Completely inadequate. And I appreciate just somebody just, hey, thanks, glad you're here today. What a blessing. And the Lord knows when you do that for one another, the Lord takes note of that. The Lord, here's what the Lord gave me when I started here. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. I'm sorry, 2 Thessalonians. And I'd appreciate you praying this for me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Take a look down at verse 11 and verse 12. Verse 11 and verse 12. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12 says, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen, brother. You know what? That's a good prayer to have for one another. That's a good prayer to have for one another. Because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God notices. God notices. Turn to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, if you will. Very familiar verse of Scripture. Matthew 12. Take a look down at verse 36. It says this, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." And again, we take that verse and we use that verse all the time to talk about sin and talk about the negative aspects and to talk about how the Lord's going to know what you do in the secrets and He's going to have a time where He can talk to you about it. And you know, we use it that way, and that much is true. I understand that. That much is very true. But you know what I pray, brethren? I pray that your conversation will abound with good words. In fact, I pray that, you know, during times like this, your conversation will abound with so many good words that when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, I've got to stand in the back of the line and wait until the Lord finishes rehearsing all the good things you've done. Amen? Amen? Because that thing there, it says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. For by thy words thou shalt be justified. The first part of that verse says, by thy words thou shalt be justified. Brethren, don't ever forget, God knows the good that you do. Take a look at Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, you know the story. The world is basically in complete turmoil, and the Lord looks down on the face of the earth and He's just disgusted with what He sees. And He decides to go out and destroy the whole thing. And look down in chapter 6, verse 8, and it says, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Brethren, the world was in such turmoil and was so far backslidden and rotten and evil to the core that the Lord was going to wipe the whole thing out. And you know what God notices in the midst of all that? One man doing right. One man doing right. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Brethren, that's what the Lord ought to see in you and me. It doesn't matter how crazy things get out there. It doesn't matter how wicked things get out there. The Lord should be able to look down at you and me, and we should find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Because, brethren, we need that with one another. We need the Lord to find grace. We need to find the grace of the Lord to look down upon us and say, "Hey, that little church down there in Coon Rapids? Yeah, Coon Rapids, Minnesota. Look at what they're doing. Look at the folks in that church." You say, "Oh, but I struggle with sin so much and I got problems." Yeah, welcome to the club. But that doesn't stop you from doing good. I mean, keep fighting the sin. Keep trying to do right. But do something, brethren. The Lord can look down in Coon Rapids, Minnesota and say, "Ah, those people find grace in my eyes. What a blessing." Brethren, that's where we're at. That's what we ought to be. And don't ever forget God notices. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Turn to 1 Samuel 26. 1 Samuel 26. Time always seems to fly so fast when when I'm up here, maybe I just like talking. I don't know. I always consider myself kind of a quiet guy. I know that's going to make a lot of people laugh. I didn't say I wasn't stubborn. I didn't say I wasn't hard-headed. I didn't say I wasn't adamant. I said, I'd just soon be off by myself. Because I win all the arguments that way. 1 Samuel 26, take a look down at verse 22. And David answered and said, "Behold, the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation." So here you have the case where Saul's after David, chasing him through the wilderness. Saul knows that David's going to eventually wind up taking his position as king, and Saul's out to kill David. And you know the story. Saul lays down, goes to sleep. David decides to do a little bit of, nighttime recon. I'm sure he got the face painted up with, all the markers and, camouflage and utilities, everything, and got out there. And he goes over and takes Saul's spear. He comes back, and then he feels bad about it. I love David. He's always got a great heart. And he says in there, look in there, he says verse 23, "The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness." And then down in verse 24, he says this, "And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord." You know what David said, brethren? David simply said this. He said, "You know what? I treated one of God's servants good. Lord, remember that when it comes to deciding how you're going to treat me." That's a blessing. And you know what? The Lord honored that thing. The Lord honored that. In Luke 6, familiar passage, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." And I noticed that when I was reading that verse, I noticed it says, "And as ye would that men should do to you." Sometimes men don't do to you very good, Sometimes they do evil to you. But you know what the Bible says there? It says the way you want to have people treat you, treat them. The way you should have men do to you. The way that you wished people would treat you. It says treat other people that way. Why? Because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And when you choose to do good, the Lord notices. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." Let us not be weary in well-doing. Weary in well-doing. Brethren, don't faint. Don't give up on doing good. Don't get discouraged because whatever, curveball life throws you, and stop doing good. Because God notices the good. He does notice the good. Jesus Christ is our example in that. In Acts 10:38 it says that he went about doing good. In Psalm 126, verse 5, the Bible says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." You plant with a little bit of heartfelt emotion for somebody, and the Lord will turn that thing around and let you reap, let you harvest some joy. Turn to 1 Kings 15 real quick. 1 Kings 15. Again, David, is an amazing example. 1 Kings 15, look down at verse 4. "Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem, to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite." The Lord looks down and sees David doing right, and he blesses David's lineage forevermore because of it. He blesses David's lineage. Brethren, the Lord notices. I mean, even the little things. You know, the Lord notices even when you do little things with the right attitude. The Lord notices. Psalm 34:15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry." In Proverbs 5:21 it says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all His goings." It does work the other way around. You know, the Lord does see the evil as well. We know that. And in a way, that's comforting because, you know, I know that in the end, righteousness will triumph. And in the end, what's right is going to be the way the Lord does things. And that's a blessing. But don't ever forget, brethren, don't ever forget, the Lord notices when you do good. He notices when you do good. Take a look at Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, the Bible simply says this, verse 4. It says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach of in the spirit." A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach of spirit. Here we go again, back to the tongue. We can't get away from it. You go through Proverbs, you can't get away from the tongue. And that's because I think the Lord knew how much time we needed to spend on the tongue. Our tongue, brethren, our tongue is either wholesome or perverse. Wholesome or perverse. You know, couple that with the verse that we just covered, we ought to be about having a wholesome tongue. We ought to be about having a wholesome tongue. I mean, the result of our tongue, this little thing there, the result of your tongue is either a tree of life for someone or a breach in the spirit. It's either a tree of life or a breach in the spirit. You know, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Brethren, He sees it when you use your tongue to be a tree of life to someone. What a blessing that is. What a contradiction from the norm in the world to have your tongue be a blessing and be a tree of life to someone. You know where I got to really have to watch my tongue? And I noticed it, you know, years ago. And it's been a struggle, and it's been something that is just constantly nagging and is always there in the background. But you know where I have to watch my tongue? Comments that I made when I was just joking. Amen? You weren't trying to do anything harmful. You weren't trying to discourage somebody. You weren't trying to, how did we phrase it back when we were in grade school? Cut them down. You know, oh, what a dig. And it... You know, guys are really bad about that. You know, Marines are really bad about that. Just guys in general. And you know what I realized a long time ago, brethren? I realized a long time ago that my foolish jesting and joking could be a breach in somebody else's spirit. By accident. No harm intended. Just, you know, looking to lighten up the mood a little bit in the room and, you know, cause a few people to snicker and laugh and that sort of thing. And wasn't anything at all, you know, there was no depth to what I was saying. There certainly wasn't any forethought. It was just something that at the time seemed it would be kind of funny. Sometimes those things are pretty cutting. Sometimes those things are pretty painful. Sometimes those things cause a breach in the spirit. You got to be careful about that. I mean, we always insisted, you know, that our kids not get in the habit of cutting each other down and, you know, talking bad about each other. You know, you're ugly. You're fat. You're ugly. I mean, you know, it's a big joke around our house about, you know, being fat. It's because my daughters are all about that big around. But brethren, we didn't let the kids do that. I mean, they started getting into that game where, you know, where they started wanting to cut each other up and in jest. And I know they did it once in a while because they're not perfect either. But, brethren, we didn't let it become the norm and the habit. And when we saw that thing going on in our family, you know what? We stopped it. Why? Because I know what foolish jesting can do. Foolish jesting can be a breach in the spirit. That can be counted as a, you know, perverseness in the tongue. Can be a breach in the spirit. But brethren, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Other things that are a tree of life. And this is kind of equates to a wholesome tongue, right? A wholesome tongue. In Proverbs 3:13, wisdom. Wisdom is a tree of life. I'll tell you what a wholesome tongue will bring you, brethren. It'll bring you wisdom. A wholesome tongue produces wisdom. Or somebody has wisdom who actually has a wholesome tongue. In Proverbs 11:30, it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Hey, man, that's a good thing to use your tongue for in connection with soul winning. I mean, we had a prayer request this evening for lost souls. That's a good thing to use your tongue for. That's a wholesome tongue. It says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. In Proverbs 13, I tell you what, the tree of life is connected with the arrival of your hope. When your hope is realized, the Lord Jesus Christ's return is connected with the tree of life. That's connected, brethren, with a wholesome tongue. I mean, a wholesome tongue is described as a tree of life. The return of our Lord and Savior is a tree of life. They're similar words. You know, brethren, you got the power in your tongue to provide a tree of life. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. The power in our tongue to provide a tree of life. A wholesome tongue. I mean, you know, Lord, give us a vision for how we can use our tongue to be a tree of life to one another. We're going through times like this. We've got things going on in church. And you know what's going to be necessary, brethren? What's going to be necessary is for your tongue, especially now, to be wholesome and provide somebody a tree of life. We need that. We need that. And don't forget, the Lord notices. The Lord notices. I got to break my record. All right, one more verse. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse 5. Proverbs 15, verse 5, the Bible says this. It says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Right off the bat, Proverbs 13 says, a wise son heareth his father's instructions, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. You know, there's a natural desire for a father to teach his son. I mean, how many of you guys get out there with your kids and you want to teach them how to throw a ball, right? You want to teach them how to go fishing. You want to teach them how to, you know, fix the car or work on computers or, you know, take them hunting or whatever. There's a natural desire for a father to try to pass good things on down to a son. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ has a natural desire to teach us a lot of things. I mean, it's God's will and it's God's desire to instruct us. And all too often, there's also another natural desire that comes up, or a natural resistance, I should say, from the devil to resist instruction. How many of you fathers ever had difficulty trying to teach your son something, or one of your kids something? Happens all the time. Should be an easy thing. It should be an easy, but it's not at times. How often has the Lord had difficulty trying to teach me something when I didn't want to listen? When I had better things to do, when I had, you know, could turn around and get involved in something else. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. The job of a son is basically to choose who his teacher will be. Is to choose who his teacher will be. For you and I, we got the Lord Jesus Christ up there who is our Heavenly Father, and he desires to teach us and instruct us in a whole lot of things. And then you have the devil, who used to be our father, if you're saved, who used to be our father, who's still trying to teach you a whole lot of things. And you know what? It's our job to choose who we want as an instructor. When there's a saying in the martial arts, you know, I don't know if it's one of those Zen moments or not, but it's one of those sayings. It's kind of struck me as kind of funny. But the saying goes something to the effect of, when the student is ready, the teacher will come. I got to thinking about that a little bit in relationship to this, and I said, you know, there's some truth in that principle. And that is, you know, when we get over despising instruction and finally start looking to the Lord Jesus Christ to receive instruction, It's amazing what kind of things he'll open up and show us. Because a father desires to instruct his children. A father desires to instruct his children. In 2 Chronicles chapter 2, Huram said, "Moreover, blessed be the Lord God of Israel that hath made heaven and earth, who hath given to David the king a wise son, endued with prudence and understanding, that he might build a house for the Lord and a house for his kingdom." I'll tell you, one of the things that a wise son does is he builds instead of tearing down. You know what a wise son does for the Lord Jesus Christ? He builds the brethren instead of tearing them down. Proverbs 10:1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, "A wise son maketh a glad father." A wise son maketh a glad father. I tell you what, a wise son brings joy to his parents. A wise son brings joy to his parents. Proverbs 10:5 says, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." A wise son is not lazy. He's not lazy. In Proverbs 28:7 it says, "Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father." I'll tell you another thing a wise son is. A wise son is just simply someone that lives godly. You know, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Many sons just think they're wise, but they don't listen to their father. And you can apply that to kids here in the congregation, but more importantly, apply it to you and me with our Father up in heaven. Brethren, a fool despiseth his father's instruction. Only a fool despises his father's instruction. I'll close with this. Isaiah 5:20 says this. It says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Bible says, brethren, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Think about that, brethren. Our Father wants to teach us things just like we want to teach our children. And it's up to us to listen. Remember, brethren, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Give the Lord good to behold. Don't ever forget the Lord sees the good that you do. And a wholesome tongue, brethren, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. And we need that. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for a chance to be here on a Wednesday night. Lord, you're a great God, and the words of this book never cease to be amazing to me. Father, there's a lot of things in there that are far too deep for my brain. But, Lord, I do appreciate the things that you've showed us out of it. Lord, you've shown us how to be a wise son. Father, you've shown us what to do with our tongue. Lord, you've shown us that you even watch us when we're doing good. Father, I pray that those things would be an encouragement and a help to us as we go about our daily life. As we said, Lord, there's a lot of things going on in this church and a lot of people going through some pretty dark hours. And, Lord, we need to be wholesome in our approach to one another. We need to be encouraging, Father. We need to be a friend that, Lord, like you are to us, that sticketh closer than a brother. Father, may you look down on Blessed Hope Baptist Church and see the members of this congregation doing good. And, Father, may that be... Maybe that would just be the reason and the cause why you choose to act and take care of some problems that we're facing, and maybe keep some things away from us that otherwise would have come our way just because we're choosing to do right. So, Lord, I pray that you'd protect your people, help your people, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, you can be dismissed.